So Joseph, if you, there we go. So we are back from recess as soon as we get a quorum, which hopefully will happen very shortly. How many of you have been in the city council chambers before? If you have, raise your hand. Okay. Sorry. I think that's too much effort for you all. the city council chambers, they're your chambers, and they're intended to have just a few very modest items of protocol to make sure that everyone feels very comfortable expressing their authentic views on any issue. So there's no clapping, there's no hooting, no hollering, there's no signs allowed. If you like something, you can do this. If you don't like something, you can do that. But we try to keep a level playing field around these issues. When you say your name, if you've signed up, and only 12 people have signed up, which we appreciate, since this issue has been going on in a number of venues for 4 years, I think it's pretty well vetted. We'd ask that you say your name. If you're lobbying on behalf of an organization, under local law, you're required to disclose who you're lobbying for. Otherwise, we just want your name. We don't want your address. We do not want your phone number, just your name. We will be going in the order of that folks signed up after we hear a presentation on the matter from Bureau staff. So if you'd please come forward, and I'll have Carla read the title. And then we're very honored to have some elected officials, folks that have been leading on this and other issues related to sustainability. They will go after that as a matter of courtesy. But the overview will be provided by Bureau Director Susan Anderson, and she's assisted by the Director of Sustainability, Michael Armstrong. Please begin.
Shall we do the title or get Commissioner Leonard on the phone first?
Yeah, so I need to read, sorry. I request the opportunity. So please get Commissioner Leonard on the phone. He'll be considering the matter. Unless there are objections, he'll be considering the matter via telephone.
Commissioner Leonard, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome, Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you.
Unless there are objections, he will participate via phone.
Thank you.
With that, I'll turn it over to Director Anderson.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council. Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. With this ordinance, Portland will join cities and nations around the globe to promote the use of reusable bags and significantly reduce the 1.7 billion single-use plastic bags that are used every year in Oregon and that litter our landscape, rivers, and oceans. For many years, I have been at this table bringing to council, to you and your predecessors, a variety of sustainability initiatives to consider, from waste reduction to recycling to job-creating solar, green building, and energy efficiency programs. Throughout all of these efforts and policies, we have shown that Portland has a track record of taking action, and we continue to be a national leader. Policies like these here on the list and many others have gone far to protect the quality of our air, our water, and our land, and minimize the human impacts on local and worldwide ecosystems. Last year, in 2010, you adopted Resolution 36804, and in that resolution, you acknowledged that members of the Oregon State Legislature planned to take efforts in 2011 to regulate single-use plastic shopping bags. Unfortunately, we know that did not happen. But as the mayor has said in the past, he said that we would act if they didn't. We have been actively working on this issue for many, many years, doing research into what other places are doing, and we now have a policy that is business friendly and helps businesses transition away from offering single-use plastic checkout bags. It's also important to note that in 2010, a poll was done that showed that two-thirds of Portlanders surveyed supported a ban on plastic checkout bags. Promoting the use of reusable bags and banning plastic checkout bags also fits with a larger plan that was adopted 5 years ago called the Portland Recycles Plan. Two of the goals of that plan are to reduce overall total waste, so both recycling and waste together to reduce that by 10% and increase recycling by 75% by 2015. But this effort is not first and foremost about reducing waste, and it's not about recycling, and it's not about the landfill. Plastic pollution kills wildlife and mistakes it for food or becomes entangled in it. Plastic checkout bags are in our waterways and damage marine systems and enter the food chain. Plastic bags like these shown in the pictures are designed to be used really only for minutes, yet can last hundreds of years in the ocean. We know that whales and dolphins and birds and turtles and 200 other species of animals are impacted and die from plastic bags. In 2006, Council adopted the Watershed Management Plan. This established watershed health goals, including protecting and improving surface water and groundwater. Plastic bags account for more than 10% of the debris that's washed up on our coasts. They also break down into smaller and smaller pieces and are ingested by animals. And though these pieces keep getting smaller and smaller, they really never disappear. Unfortunately, plastic bag recycling is also a very big problem. Plastic bags can't be placed in your big blue roll cart with other materials, and they can't be recycled with everything else. They jam the recycling machinery and cost local recovery facilities as much as $60,000 a month here in Portland. So in that picture there, those are people there in the orange, down in the machine, pulling out the plastic film by hand. Far West Fibers, which handles a significant amount of the recycling from the Portland metro region, estimates that about 25% of their total labor costs result from having to shut down the machinery and manually remove the jammed plastic bags. Far West has also said two other important things. First of all, that pulling out the bags is a primary reason for job-related injuries. And second, that the bags contaminate all their other recyclables. And so when they're putting together all the paper and putting those into bales, often plastic gets mixed in there, and that reduces the market value of those materials, so they make less money. In addition to the costs of the recycling industry, plastic shopping bags have significant environmental costs. Over 12 million barrels of oil, or 500 million gallons of oil, are used for bag production annually in the U.S. And the Department of Environmental Quality here in Oregon estimates that much less than 10% of the plastic bags are recycled. The economics of recycling plastic bags really only makes sense for large commercial volumes like the shrink wrap that's used in big warehouses. Most of the plastic bags in Oregon, in Portland, go to the landfill and or they blow in the wind, littering the environment and washing into the rivers and streams. As you know, this ban on bags didn't just pop up today. It is the result of diligent research and study over several years and thoughtful discussions that really started 3 or 4 years ago with individual businesses, with civic groups, neighborhood and business associations, and other stakeholders. Similarly, this ordinance doesn't start tomorrow. It gives companies enough time to prepare, with 3 months to use up their existing supply of bags or to transfer bags to their stores outside of Portland. And if any company has a major hardship, a short time extension can be granted. We're definitely not the first city to do this, and this is important. Cities and counties and nations have banned or discouraged plastic bag use for several years. In Ireland, they have achieved a 90% decrease in use. China has banned plastic bags since 2008, and San Francisco became the first American city to ban the bag back in 2007. Since then, more than a dozen other cities in the U.S., from California to Hawaii to Colorado, Connecticut, even Texas, and other places have local bag ordinances. So promoting reusable bags and significantly cutting the use of plastic shopping bags are important steps for us here in Portland for a cleaner environment. You know, in Oregon, we use, on average, 440 bags per person per year. That's 1.7 billion bags. I think it's time we do our part, and hopefully, eventually, that will lead the state to similar action. Thank you.
Carla, can you please read the title, and then we'll ask our attorney, Ben Walters, to go through the modest amendments.
Item 770, amend code to promote reusable checkout bags and reduce use of single-use plastic checkout bags.
Mr. Walters.
Carla has a handout to allow you to follow along. In the meantime, so on the ordinance itself.
We already have it.
You have it? It's been handed out? Okay. On recital number 7, Ben Walters, Chief Deputy City Attorney with the City Attorney's Office. On recital number 7, which is on page 2, the fifth line down, starting with single-use plastic, the word checkout is being stricken. So it just reads single-use plastic bags. That's just a clarification. And then I'm going to flip to the back page now, which is the code amendment itself. And in 17-103-040A, the published ordinance had the word recyclable paper bags, and that should be recycled paper bags. It's a Scrivener's error. The recycled paper bags is a defined term. Recyclable is not. In 17-103-050C, in reviewing that, the auditor's office asked for a point of clarification there. In the last line, it provides that a violator who's received a notice may seek a hearing from the code hearings officer within 30 days of receipt of the notice, and that could possibly create some uncertainty. So they asked that that be changed to from the mailing of the notice, which is a more easily identifiable event. And then in the definitions section, which is on the first page of Exhibit A, 17-103-010C, the definition of recycled paper bag, the definition as distributed was contains a minimum of 40% post-consumer recycled content, and we are going to ask that that be changed to contains an average 40% recycled content with the Bureau Director to engage in rulemaking to provide more, to flesh that out.
So move the amendments.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the amendments that will serve as the basis of testimony?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for walking us carefully through those. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Thank you all. Now, Senator Mark Hass could not be with us today, but we are very lucky to have with us Senator Rosenbaum, Senator Dingfelder, and Representative Cannon. Senator Rosenbaum, I want to thank you for your leadership to make sure that cities of Oregon had a successful legislative session, very difficult circumstances as we did, and your work as Senate Majority Leader and sponsorship of city bills made a key difference in the city's agenda. Senator Dingfelder, thank you for your leadership on the Trails Immunity legislation. You have made a lot of folks that have worked very hard over the decades on establishing natural trails throughout the city very happy, and it's going to serve as a catalyst for expanding those. And Representative Cannon, congratulations on being the lead co-sponsor of the residential speed limit bill. Finally, we have a modicum of local control on the number 2 or 3 most complained about issue in the city of Portland, and that is the speed of traffic. This is a groundbreaking common sense law. It will save lives and reduce injuries. Thank you. Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you very much, Mayor Adams and members of the council. For the record, I am Diane Rosenbaum, as you said, State Senate Majority Leader. I also am a senator representing District 21, which is southeast and northeast Portland and Milwaukee and Clackamas County, and I'm very pleased to join you today in support of the ordinance that you are considering. It's interesting that in my file in front of me is a letter that I co-signed with my colleagues here today, joining with you in saying that we as state legislators would work very, very hard to try to pass a statewide law prohibiting single-use plastic bags in Oregon. And that this letter is dated a year ago tomorrow. And so I can tell you that we worked very, very hard. And I wish that we were here to tell you that we had been successful. Our state bill, which was Senate Bill 536, received hearings, great testimony, and we just weren't able to get there. And Portlanders and Oregonians really cannot afford to and shouldn't be asked to wait for another day or another hearing or another legislative session. In fact, I would suggest today that the best way to get single-use plastic bags out of Oregon is for Portland to take the lead and pass this ordinance today. And in doing so, I think we will create the very necessary first step to a statewide law, which I think everybody who's sensible on this topic agrees there's a need to do something about the problem, and a statewide solution is the ultimate solution. Clearly, you've heard from your own staff that there is a big problem, and I don't think that's even debatable anymore. The problem is litter. The problem is jeopardy to our precious ocean, beaches, marine life, and ultimately, it also jeopardizes our ability to have effective recycling. As you've heard, plastic bags gum up the works and cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to our very effective recycling program. So I'm pleased today to urge you to move this expeditiously forward. I know that we will not be the first city to do this. Clearly, San Francisco, Los Angeles County, most recently the city of Bellingham, Washington, took this step, but I think it is very much in keeping with what my constituents, with what Portlanders generally want to see, and ultimately Oregonians, whether they live at the coast or they live in Portland, will benefit from passage of this ordinance, which I think will lead us to a strong and effective statewide law. So I thank you for introducing this and considering it, and ban the bag.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, by the way,
I'm going to defer to my colleague, Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mayor. For the record, Ben Cannon, State Representative, House District 46 in Portland. It's parts of southeast and northeast Portland. We're here today, as Senator Rosenbaum expressed, to fulfill a commitment that we made to you almost exactly 1 year to the day ago. We came to this chambers to ask you to wait on moving forward. We asked you to wait for a statewide solution to the problem. We asked you to wait for a solution that I think would be ideal for grocers and, frankly, for consumers. And you did wait. And you waited for the legislature to act, and we were not successful in doing so. We faced resistance that we were not able to move, although I think we came very, very close. So it is our chance now to fulfill our commitment by asking you to move forward. It's time for cities to act. I think Portland has a special opportunity and responsibility for leadership on this issue as Oregon's largest city. And I think on this issue, like on so many, we will be looking to our local governments for leadership. Those good ideas very often bubble up, and I hope that we're able to get there as a state and move forward as a state at some point. But for now, the problem is too important, too serious to wait. Encourage you to move ahead and appreciate your leadership in bringing this resolution forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Senator.
Great, thank you.
Can I just say something, Mayor, since this is my senator? In addition to your opening remarks, I'd like to thank Jackie for two things. One is being vigilant in protecting the Oregon Cultural Trust during the last session from any more sweeps or any more attacks. And second, SB 519, which, as she knows, dealt with land trust properties in foreclosure. We're grateful for your leadership on that.
Great. Thank you very much, and thank you, Mayor, and members of the City Council for inviting us here today. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here, especially with my esteemed colleagues, and my name is Senator Jackie Dingfelder. I also represent Northeast and Southeast Portland. I realize we're the whole contingent from the east side here just about.
East side.
it's an honor and a pleasure to be here. I do wish that we were here to say we did it. We tried, and believe me, we tried. I don't think between that and the bisphenol A ban, I think we spent a lot of time working really hard this past session. The good news is, though, on product stewardship, and this is an issue I've been working on for the 10 years that I've been in the legislature, we did make some great strides thanks to the very innovative and creative work of Representative Cannon. We were able to expand the bottle bill to include almost all containers. So we have now one of the most expansive bottle bills in the country. And really want to say that was one of the victories of the session for the environment. And then also, I was able to, also with the help of my colleagues, expand our environmental, cutting-edge electronic recycling program, another big program to help keep waste out of our landfills and to promote recycling. And so we were able to add printers and peripherals to our computer recycling program. So we do now have one of the most expansive programs in the nation. So that's the good news. Bad news is we couldn't get there on plastic bags. I was hoping we would have a whole suite of product stewardship legislation. So would I prefer that there was a statewide ban on plastic bags? You bet. Does that mean that the city of Portland should wait? Absolutely not. So I want to echo the comments of my colleagues that we're here to say go for it. We hope that we'll be back maybe next time saying we will be joining at the state level. I do hope that other cities and municipalities around the state will be joining the city of Portland, because I think that we do need a statewide approach, and hopefully as other leaders at the municipal level look to Portland and say, we're going to do it too, maybe we'll be able to get a more comprehensive approach at the state level down the road. But I want to thank all of you for your leadership. It is ironic that we were here almost a year ago to the day, but we're here to say go for it and support you all the way.
Well, each of you, along with Senator Haas, worked very, very hard to get this passed, and you did come very, very close, and I appreciate you coming back here, people of your word, to support our efforts, and Representative Jules Bailey and Carolyn Tomei were unable to be here today, but Representative Bailey has similarly as you have, if the largest city in Oregon succeeds in banning single-use plastic bags, it would significantly bolster a future statewide proposal. So thank you for your work.
And I'd like to thank you also, and thank you for coming back and for your leadership in both the House and the Senate. And to the senators, I particularly appreciated your work, which again was not entirely successful, but sometimes things do take time to get done. And so, Senator Rosenbaum, your work on 911 privacy for callers, I hope we will be able to work together in the next session and finally get that done. And Senator Dingfelter, your work on alcohol issues and making our neighborhoods safer is greatly appreciated. And again, I hope to continue to working with you on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all, and thank you for coming to City Council. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Steve Wilson, Surf Rider Foundation, Meredith Shield, Oregon League of Conservation Voters, Jeff Murray, Far West Fibers. Welcome to the City Council chambers. Mr. Wilson.
Hi, my name is Steve Wilson, and I am the Rise Above Plastics Coordinator for the Surf Rider Foundation in Portland, and I am also the Communications Director for the Five Gyres Institute. 6 years ago, on a remote beach in Oregon, I saw fragmented plastic. Fast forward 6 years, and I've personally sailed across 4 oceanic gyres, witnessing this plastic pollution disaster firsthand. I've watchdogged industry, I've studied polymer chemistry, I've studied physical oceanography, I've devoted my life and my career to communicating this issue to the general public. It's a very difficult issue to communicate because it's mostly out of sight, out of mind. We've been using plastic for roughly 60 years, and being 2 weeks away from land, 2,000 miles out into the ocean, and finding these products out there ubiquitously is pretty hard on the heart. Industry continually touts recycling as the solution. Well, I had a conversation with Mark Daniels from Hilux Poly this spring, and I asked Mark, is it a fair statement that the net effect of recycling plastic bags is more, not less, plastic in the environment? His answer, to my astonishment, was yes. This is precisely why industry pushes recycling as a solution. It's guaranteed consumption, because Mark can't make a bag out of a bag. He needs 70% virgin material to create a new bag. So every time you recycle one bag, you create 3.3. Every time you recycle 3.3, you create 10. So what we're doing by recycling polyethylene is algorithmically increasing the plastic pollution in our world. That's math. That's fact. So what does this product do besides cost taxpayers money to clean up? Well, let's talk about end of life. Typically, plastic bags are made out of natural gas. The way natural gas is extracted from our soil is through hydrofracking, which is possibly one of the most destructive extractive practices in America today. Take a look at a bird on our beach here that is dead. You'll find polyethylene in its guts. Take a look at the gyres. Polyethylene and polypropylene are the two most common things out there. Take a look at the recent Scripps study where 9% of fish surveyed in the North Pacific this summer had ingested plastic, plastic that attracts harmful chemicals. It's estimated in the North Pacific alone that base food fish, the same fish that feed your sushi, have ingested between 12 and 24 million pounds of plastic in 1 year. So I ask you, what more evidence do we need? We've waited a year. We've been very patient. We've been very vigilant. And so I'm asking you, as a citizen of Portland, along with all these people in the chambers, to ban the bag. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Ms. Shield?
Mayor Adams and members of the council, for the record, Meredith Shield, Legislative Director for the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. Thank you very much for your time today on taking on this issue. Banning plastic bags has been a longstanding priority for Oregon's conservation community, and while we fell short during the 2011 legislative session, I am pleased to see that you are keeping your promise on moving forward on this critical issue. I also want to appreciate and support the hard work in the legislature from the key chief co-sponsors on Senate Bill 536. Banning these bags is not a minor issue, as they significantly impact our communities and our environment. In Oregon alone, it is estimated that 1.7 billion plastic bags are used each year. That's 444 bags for each man, woman, and child in Portland. That's nearly 2 million bags that are not biodegradable. These bags overflow from landfills, litter our roads, and pollute our waterways. They appear in our neighborhoods and on our streets, sidewalk, park, and even trees here in Portland. They enter and clog storm drains during Portland's many rainy days, and they break down into smaller and smaller toxic bits, dramatically impacting wildlife. These plastic from these bags will never go away. While curbside recycling may seem like an option to address this problem, that simply isn't the case. Plastic bags are difficult and cost prohibitive to recycle, and when placed into recycling bins, they cause significant problems. They can jam and shut down machinery and recycling facilities, and when mixed with other recyclables, they can contaminate the end product. Oregon has a proud history of leading the nation in conservation. Our landmark bottle bill, open beaches, and banning oil drilling off of Oregon's pristine coasts. Portland should take a page from our state's great history and innovative when it comes to banning single-use bags. We look forward to working with you to build on this policy and are hopeful for a statewide solution in the future. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and members of the council. My name is Jeff Murray, and I'm Vice President of Business Development for Far West Fibers and privately held Oregon Recycling Company. I've been before you a few times on this issue, as you're well aware, and I'm here today in support of the ordinance before you to ban these bags. Far West operates what are called three clean material recovery facilities, or better known as MRFs, in the Portland area. And we sort and market this material. And a substantial amount of the commingled recyclables collected by franchise haulers from Portland and throughout Oregon does go through our facilities. As you may or may not be aware, single-use plastic bags and other household film plastic wreaks havoc, and I'm sure you're aware now, you've heard it three or four times, but I got to go through my script, on the sort screen and utilized by Far West Fibers and others. If you're not aware, it's obvious you've never met me. Though plastic bags and I apologize for this, but we couldn't get the printer to work today. Though plastic bags and film plastics are not a part of the curbside program in Portland, and for the most part, nowhere else in the state of Oregon, we still get plenty of them. As you saw in the earlier presentation, some of your neighbors just haven't gotten the word. The picture that you saw with the screen with all the bags was taken. Bruce Walker called me and asked me to take that picture randomly, and it was about an hour and 15 minutes into a shift. So that screen was totally shut down. When that happens, our sorters cannot do their job. They cannot keep up with the material. So therefore, a lot of material ends up going to the landfill that should not, due to those plastic bags being in the system. During every break and at the end of every shift, 4 to 6 trained employees wearing protective gear perform what's called a lockout tagout. They climb into those screens wearing their protective gear and cut all that film plastic out that gets wrapped in the screens. As safe as we try to make this process, this is where we have the most injuries, not necessarily life-threatening, not necessarily the strongest of injuries, but nonetheless, it's a high rate of injury in those equipment. I would also like to, save me about a minute, I would like to recognize the correctness of Susan Anderson's statements regarding the cost of plastic bags to our facility. That is an accurate statement in our opinion. The challenge of plastic bags and filled plastics clogging our screens is not a new issue. We as a company and industry have actually been struggling with this for over 8 years. We've worked with local, regional, state government, haulers, recycling advocates, other people in the industry to try and solve this problem. We accelerated this work about 4 years ago, and we still have not yet seen success. In closing, I would like to say Far West does not normally support bans. Unfortunately, we are at our wit's end that this could, and we feel this could move us in the right direction. I would like to thank Senator Mark Hass for his incredible efforts at bringing together many parties that don't normally work on the same side of the fence in Salem. This group drafted a very straightforward piece of legislation to ban single-use plastic bags statewide. Though Senator Hass and others' legislation did not pass, it had strong support from grocers, recyclers, MRFs, and several environmental groups. Because of this legislation, the Association of Oregon Recyclers and others, including ourselves, have begun serious conversations with Hilux Poly, the largest plastic bag manufacturer in the country, to have a conversation about solving the issues of film plastics clogging our equipment. They have dedicated some engineers within their company to work on this problem because they realize it's not just a Portland or Oregon problem. It's a national issue. They've also said that they will come to Oregon to help work on improving the collection of plastic bags and film plastics. Because I do need to state that removing these plastic bags, single-use plastic bags, is a very positive thing, but we still have challenges in our MRFs with other film plastics. Once again, I would like to thank Senator Hass and other supportive legislators, especially those who showed up today, and all the members of his committee for their work. I'd also like to thank you, the City Council, for keeping the promise you made roughly a year or so ago. Far West does have one fairly strong concern regarding the exception allowed in the ordinance for compostable plastic bags. I could go on for quite a while about our concerns. With that said, I won't. We trust that we will be involved in this conversation as the administrative rules for the program are developed. And by the way, I have one small favor to ask all that can hear my voice. Maybe you can do us all a favor and clue your neighbors in. Please do not put plastic bags or film plastics in your curbside roll cart. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. We'll now hear from...
I have to excuse myself for a Portland Utility Review Board across the hall, but I'll be back in time for the vote.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. We'll now hear from Lisa Sedler of New Season Market and Jason Valdez of Whole Foods Market. Welcome. Welcome back. Is Jason? There he is. Hi, Jason. Please begin.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. I'm Lisa Sedler. I'm the president and CEO of New Seasons Market. For those of you who are not familiar with us, we're a locally owned and operated grocery chain of 10 stores, soon to be 12, and we have about 2,000 staff members. I wanted to say thank you for allowing us to provide testimony on the proposed ban of single-use plastic shopping bags. We very much applaud your leadership in this area and really recognizing that these bags are environmentally unsustainable. We think the best option out there for shopping bags is a reusable shopping bag. Yes, I brought a prop. And what we've seen over the course of the last few years is a huge increase in our customers using reusable bags. In the past year alone, we've issued nearly 3 million bag credits as we give a 5-cent bag discount for customers who bring in their own bag. At our Sellwood store alone, more than 40% of our shoppers bring in their own reusable bags. So as you can see, we're already on the path. This is already becoming the new normal for shoppers in Portland. When it comes to single-use plastic shopping bags, we think paper is also a good option. In our 11-year history at New Seasons Market, we have never offered single-use plastic bags at our checkout, opting instead to offer only paper bags. Our paper bags are made from 40% post-consumer waste and 60% pre-consumer recovered wood fibers. Our bags are produced locally in Beaverton, Oregon, and that greatly reduces transportation costs and impact on our environment. The decision to offer paper bags definitely costs a little bit more, somewhere in the range of 5 to 7 cents more than single-use plastic shopping bags. But we think, and our customers think, that it's the right thing to do to keep these plastic bags out of our waste system and out of our waterways. On behalf of New Seasons Market, we're really happy to see the City of Portland is doing the right thing with regard to the environment and the community in the proposal to ban single-use plastic shopping bags. What I would like to say more than anything is that at New Seasons Market, we wholeheartedly support this proposal to ban single-use plastic shopping bags. And if there's anything we can do further to help support the initiative, we're happy to do it. I thank you for your progressive action on this issue in helping Portland become more and more progressive.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Mr. Valdez.
Afternoon, Mayor Adams, council members. My name is Jason Valdez. I'm a marketing director for Whole Foods Market in the Portland area. And I wanted to say how happy we are to be here on this day, on this possible monumental occasion. As some of you may know, we banned the use of single-use plastic bags on Earth Day 2008, which is April 22nd. And we believe, beyond the scientific facts that were quoted today, one of the most impactful things that we've seen was Earth Day of this year, when we walked in and saw a 20-foot pelican that was made by local artists completely out of plastic that had washed ashore at our local state beaches. We completely support this initiative, and we hope that it passes today. One of our core values of this company is caring about our community and environment, and we believe that the ban of single-use plastic bags will do that. The unintended benefit of this also, like New Seasons, we have a bag donation. So if you bring in a reusable bag, we will donate to local charities. So local charities also benefit from this initiative if it was to pass. Beyond that, we hope that this does pass, and we hope that we will see the end of single-use plastic bags in the City of Portland. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Really appreciate it.
That doesn't count as a clap.
We'll now move to testimony in the order that people signed up. You'll each have 3 minutes.
And the first three, please come on up, are Jaron and Marcella and Mr. Charles E. Long. They'll be followed by Kathy Bambeck, Terry Parker, and Joe Gilliam.
Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. Would you like to begin?
Yes. I'm Jaron Jennings, and this is Marcella Sweeney, and we are here today representing the Eastside PDX Homeschool Peace Jam Club. Our club has worked on an environmental service project focusing on the elimination of single-use plastic bags. We researched the harmful effects of disposable plastics on humans, animals, marine life, and the environment. After finding out how bad this plastic pollution was, we took a pledge never to accept a plastic bag at a checkout center again. We asked our families to take the pledge also. We wrote, illustrated, and published an educational zine about the problem and distributed it. We started a letter-writing campaign in support of Senate Bill 536, which was not passed, and organized a cleanup at Cannon Beach and participated in cleanups organized by others.
In our beach and riverside cleanups, we experienced the problems with plastic pollution. When we picked up trash at Sellwood Riverfront, we carried out huge bags of disposable plastics. And when we returned to the same site 2 months later, we filled and carried out just as many bags. When we tried to remove trash from the beach, we found an unending tide line stream of photodegrading plastic bits just going on in both directions. And one of our club members said, "When will this end?" The decisions made today will affect the kind of world that my generation and those that follow will live in as adults. And we didn't choose the enormous amount of plastic polluting our environment, but we are happy and willing to be a part of the solution. And we hope that you will join us by voting in support of the bag ban in the city of Portland, so that we can set an example.
We really appreciate your advocacy and also combined with your willingness to go out and help clean up the environment. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Peace Jam sounds like a really wonderful club. Thank you.
Mr. Long, welcome back.
My name is Charles Long. The passage of this ordinance will not solve the problem of plastic proliferation in our society. It is ironic that the Oregonian Tuesday lamented the failure of the 2011 legislature to pass a statewide ban on plastic grocery bags. For that hypocritical publication wraps its newspapers in plastic bags every day to every subscriber, I oppose banning these bags because they are the most durable, economical, practical, waterproof, handy for reuse in innumerable ways, and recyclable if government would develop a system, promotion, and perhaps law to enforce it. Banning grocery bags will not save the proliferation of myriads of plastic containers dumped in our landfills and which pollute our environment at an increasing rate. I would challenge City Club members to take the bag test. Don't take your gas guzzlers to the shopping lot. Walk, bicycle, or take TriMet. See if you can handle the large paper bags, as many shoppers must. Walk to the nearest bus stop. Wait up to 20 minutes or more for a bus. Balance the bags up the bus steps, then down when you get off the bus. Walk an average of 6 blocks to your residence. Pray to God it doesn't rain. If it does, your bags will disintegrate. Stop the feel-good legislation and do something real to solve the plastic proliferation problem. Banning plastic grocery bags is an assault on our freedom of choice and an assault on common sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Long. Thank you again. The next three
are Kathy Bambeck, Terry Parker, and Joe Gilliam. Let's go with Natasha Pace. Next will be Natasha Pace, Bob Solinger, and Amy Brown.
Welcome back to City Council Chambers. Good to see you, Ms. Bambeck. Please begin.
My name is Kathy Bambeck, and I want to say these are not one-use bags. We use them for many, many things. Please do not ban these bags. I reuse them for cat litter, as many senior citizens do. There is no other way I could dispose of the smelly stuff if I didn't have these bags. I also use them for various chores, like carrying something to my car and to the bus, among other things. They're small enough to hold small things, but heavy things. I walk with a cane, and I find these plastic bags are the only way I can hold on to something while using my cane. I have a purse in one hand and the cane in the other. The Neighborhood House Senior Center keeps a supply of these bags so we can take home free bread when available. I am too short to use these canvas bags and the ones that Fred Meyer sells. They scrape the ground. Plastic bags are light and can be used for many, many ways. That's all I have to say.
Well, Ms. Bambeck, it is good to see you. It's been a while.
And thank you for your testimony. I have heard from other seniors. So the Commission on Disability has been asked to take up this the issue of the bags, the current kinds of reusable bags having handles that are too long, that are sometimes not either washable or waterproof. So I think it's definitely a concern that I share and that I'll be working with the mayor and his staff on to make sure that we have reusable bags that are good for seniors and those with disabilities. So thank you for bringing that up.
Mr. Parker, welcome back.
Thank you. Terry Parker, Portland. A ban on plastic bags will only increase the cost of doing business and increase the cost of living in Portland. The single-use buzz phrase attached to the plastic courtesy bags at grocery store checkout counters is an outright lie, a political spin contrived by supporters of the ban. Surveys have shown nearly 90% of households reuse the plastic bags in some manner, as opposed to purchasing plastic bags for home use. Low-profit resale businesses, the ultimate recyclers, almost exclusively reuse grocery and department store bags to reduce overhead costs. Additionally, it takes 5 truckloads of paper bags to match 1 truckload of plastic bags delivered to grocery stores. How many of you shop at discount grocery stores needing multiple bags for 1 or more push carts filled with food items to feed large families, as opposed to trotting down to your local grocery boutique and purchasing no more than can fit in a little cloth bag? This ban would not even be considered if those behind the concept truly believed in diversity instead of just catering to the special interests. Moreover, this hearing is only window dressing to an already predetermined and dictatorial course of action that has not been fully vetted or debated with the public. Let me deviate for just a minute here. The problem is litter. The problem isn't plastic bags. If you're going to look at litter, you're going to ban cigarettes, you're going to ban shopping carts that are on railroad tracks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Finally, this ban is more about the high and mighty single-premise agenda that is aimed at implementing a social engineering structure to control the lifestyles of Portlanders than it is about saving the city, environmentalism, or sustainability. Elected officials in a democracy are supposed to be servants to the people, not dictators to the people. Without a mindset change that clearly demonstrates the council supports an inherent freedom of choice in daily life and mobility, a change of administration in the next election is absolutely essential. If an initiative petition campaign is mounted to refer the ban to a vote of the people, I'll definitely sign it. Establishing a well-designed recycling plan with a financially self-sustainable business plan would be less costly for both business interests and households, and in the long run, serve the people of Portland far better than a ban. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Mr. Gilliam.
Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you for allowing me to speak today, and allowing me to be a moderator on this issue. I want to thank you, the whole council, and you, Mr. Mayor, for the opportunity to go to Salem and have a chance at a statewide ban. You kept your word. You kept your part of the deal. We just were unable to push it over get 16 votes in the Senate. So we are disappointed. But having said that, I think what our concerns about this ordinance going forward really are in just being a plastic bag ban and not really fulfilling this ordinance the way it's written will not fulfill what the ordinance is setting out to do, and that's promote the use of reusable bags. We are very pleased that there is a section in there, Section 112B, that requires the director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to come back in a year and to make recommendations to modify it, because that's truly going to be the clause that's going to make this work. As it sits unamended, I want to be realistic about what this will provide the city. According to the own city estimates and the numbers being used, 444 bags per person, every man, woman, child in the city of Portland. That's 244 million bags that are going to be banned. That's great for the litter issue, and you accomplish 50% of the goal because you're going to take those out of circulation. The reality is, by banning that, that is going to be a shift to paper bags. The San Francisco experiment proved just that. We've seen it at the ground level. People don't go to reusables. Very few. The people who are going to reusables are there already. The ones who want to do it have made that choice. They go to paper. So the cost shift for that is going to be huge. We've already seen it. Fred Meyer has taken out of all their stores in the city of Portland and took them out, and their paper bag use has more than doubled since they've done that. The cost effect for the consumer is about a nickel, and you heard as high as 7 cents if you have handles on them to paper. So when you take that over the long haul for the next year, it's a $12 million fiscal impact to the consumer, because they're going to go from plastic to paper because they think that paper bag is free. It's just human nature. It's just the way it is. That's $12 million. That's 20 to 30 times the cost of the MRF problem that Jeff brought up from fibers. So we're trading a lot of costs here that there's no place but the consumer to pay. We had a proposal to mitigate this problem. There's no perfect. I'll tell you, we've talked about this for 4 years, trying to find the right combination, the right formula, what works the best, what's the silver bullet. And really all you can do is mitigate the cost shift. And we would suggest a refund value on every paper bag, that there's a deposit charge and everybody who brings it back gets their money back for using it twice. If you use it twice, you cut the cost of that bag in half. You cut that $12 million in half to $6 million. And for every consumer who reuses that bag, they don't pay the cost of the consumer who chooses not to reuse the bag, because they get their nickel back, they cut the cost, and those who choose not to pay the price of the bag. Thank you for your chance to testify here and take questions if you'd like, Mr. Mayor.
Well, Mr. Gilliam, I want to thank you for the engagement that you've had with us over the last 4 years. And for those that don't know, your association lobbied along with elected officials mighty hard, very hard, and we appreciate that. And we continue to work and perfect this as things go along. And I also want to point out one of your members, Fred Meyer, and thank them specifically for their decision to ban plastic out of the 10 stores in the Portland area. They did that on their own, and it's deserving of recognition and big thanks. Thank you.
We appreciate that.
The next three are Natasha Pace, Bob Solinger, and we'll go with T.A. Barnhart.
Hi, welcome back.
They'll be followed by Brian Paslow, Alex Wall, and Rick Paul.
We have a special guest. Hi, how are you? Are you shy? You're Bob Salinger's daughter. You can't be shy. I've not met your mother, but there's just no possible way. Would you like to begin, sir?
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of City Council. My name is Bob Salinger, and this is Annie Salinger with me today, and we're both here representing the Audubon Society of Portland, and Peter Salinger is roaming somewhere around.
There he is.
And we're here to support the bag ban. These bags litter our landscape, harm our wildlife, harm our economy, and last virtually forever. Other issues have been covered very well, so today I'm going to focus my comments exclusively on wildlife. And particularly on the impact on native bird populations. Plastic has been identified as a major hazard to wildlife in our state and around the world. Once plastic bags are loose in the environment, they can cause harm close to home, or they can travel via our waterways and impact wildlife across the planet. Wild birds ingest large particles of plastic, that eventually clog up their crops and their digestive tracts and kill them. They result in starvation and death. They also incorporate them into their nests, where they can cause all kinds of problems, including ingestion and entanglement. They can also trap moisture. Birds don't recognize plastic as for what it is. They just recognize it as something that's out there in the environment, and it really has been identified as a huge problem for them. Examples abound. Albatrosses on Midway Island. The plastic from our communities travels across the ocean. There's a picture at the back of the group of pictures I gave you that shows albatrosses on Midway full of plastic. One of them has a plastic bag in it. California condors, a species that we're trying to recover, that's being raised at the Oregon Zoo, that's been introduced into California but not yet Oregon. One of the primary challenges facing condor recovery, a report from Audubon a couple years ago, identifies microplastic, including plastic bags. Up to a third of what they find in their guts is plastic. Seabirds are now increasingly showing up at our coastal rehab centers full of plastic. And finally, people still think this is something that's out there. It also happens close to home. We worked with KGW Channel 8 5 years ago to start something called Raptor Cam, focusing on a downtown Portland raptor nest, a red-tailed hawk that nests on a fire escape. And we get about 1 million hits a year. People view it from across the country and across the world. And they've been able to watch this red tail, this incredible thing in the middle of downtown Portland, going through its nesting cycle and rearing its young. They've also, each of the last 4 years, watched plastic bags in the nest. And you saw a picture earlier in the slideshow from the city. I've given you four pictures here. The first one on the first page shows a bird with a plastic bag over her eggs. That was at the start of this nesting season. A short while later, another bag in the nest sitting on top of the chicks. On the third page, you can actually see one of the chicks eating a plastic bag. This was sent to me yesterday by a viewer in Michigan who heard that Portland was thinking about enacting a plastic bag ban, and she had pulled this off the screen and saved it.
This nest is
in downtown Portland, and it runs on KGW. So the third page is of one of the youngsters eating a plastic bag, and on the fourth page, his sibling is eating it. So it does happen close to home. It is real. It is a huge problem. We believe it's common sense to get rid of this pollution. There are great alternatives available. We really applaud all the groups that have worked so hard on this and City Council for taking this progressive step. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Sanger. Anything you'd like to add?
Say anything?
No. Do you agree with your dad? Okay, good answer. Good answer. Thank you. Sir.
Excuse me. Good afternoon. My name is T.A. Barnhart. I want to talk a little bit about recycling. I was at the legislature when the hearing on 536 was held, and Hilux Poly made an appearance along with someone from, I believe, the chemical industry. And I got a good idea of what Hilux Poly is about, heard their testimony. I've done a lot of research on them. They spent apparently $500,000 to defeat this bill in the legislature. They've been spending millions in California using their version of the NEPA law to attack cities. Fortunately, this past week, one of their suits against the city of Manhattan Beach in the Los Angeles area was unanimously defeated by the California Supreme Court. But Hilux Poly takes a very hardcore attack against municipalities trying to take these, let's be honest, this isn't a ban, this is a reduction, this is a limitation. They spend a lot of money on greenwashing sites. They work really hard to tell the rest of the world, don't ban these products that people need and love, like their own children, and they tell us to do the recycling. They put out what was the number, 1.3 billion bags per year in Oregon, and they tell us to recycle. They have not ever once in their testimony said, let us help you recycle. Here's some money so that you can recycle. They tell us to do it. The bottle manufacturers, the bottlers, the distributors of beer and soft drinks in Oregon, they've all been on board with the bottle bill for years. They've all been actively involved. They've taken responsibility. Hilux Poly takes their money, the money that they get for these bags, to their corporation back in South Carolina. They fund jobs in Texas. They undermine jobs in Oregon and Oregon businesses. They walk away from the mess that they make and tell us, well, we've made our profit. You clean up after us. This is a good step forward, not just for a sensible environmental stand, but for a progressive stand against an irresponsible, destructive corporation that's happy to go in, sell their products, and leave a mess behind and expect the rest of us to clean up. So thank you for taking this first step forward. I'm sorry that the legislature couldn't follow suit, take the first step, but it'll come soon enough.
Thank you, sir, very much. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, thank you. City Commissioners and Mayor Sam Adams. I'm Nastasia Pace, and I'm the chair of the Surfrider Foundation Portland chapter. I want to thank you all for taking much of your time and your leadership on promoting the use of reusable checkout bags and for your efforts to reduce the amount of plastic pollution entering our waterways and oceans in Oregon. The Surfrider Foundation, as most of you are aware, are dedicated to protecting the health of our world's oceans and beaches, and that's why our local Portland chapter has focused a lot of our efforts on Rise Above Plastics and this Ban the Bag campaign. As a City of Portland master recycler, a City Parks volunteer coordinator, and environmental activist, I greatly understand the importance of outreach and education when it comes to making change and engaging our citizens. And in an effort to educate and raise